eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code podcast.
Welcome back to another ITM short. This one is Manny being Manny on the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster. Presented by Odyssey with Joey Capone and myself, Steve Peralt. Joey, first off, how you doing? Sox won another series for you tuning in. On Wednesday, the Red Sox have taken the first two against the Tigers. They've won their sixth series in a row. They're buzzing. I don't give a damn if the team stinks. If you're winning series after series after series, we were saying this back when the team was 10-19. It's pretty simple in Major League Baseball. You just got to win series to get back in the postseason hunt. They've done that, and they're back in the postseason hunt. Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Yeah, and Cora said the same thing. They're after exactly that. They're after series wins. So it feels good. I didn't even really think about the fact that they won the series tonight because it was a little bit of a heart attack ending there, but everything fell into place, and here we are. Five games above 500?
Seven.
Jeez, Louis, see, seven.
The above 500 thing is tough. Let's get a to-the-minute update on the standings real quick, which might be different by the morning. If you go to MLB.com, the standings take a second to come up. The Sox now are, well, the Rays beat the Yankees, so Sox are still a half game up on the Rays, and they are a game behind the Toronto Blue Jays.
Because, I mean, the Jays lost
that means
tonight?
Jays... Dude, Jays are playing the White Sox right now, which is great. I always call it great radio because when you listen to this, that game's going to be decided. But Jays lose that. Sox are a half game behind the Jays. This has happened so fast, and it's been a beauty to see. We're going to talk a lot more about the series and everything that happened this week in our recap episode late Wednesday night. But for now, Joey, this short is dedicated to Manny Ramirez. Manny was back in town at Fenway Park on a Monday when he probably should have been there for when he was getting inducted to the Red Sox Hall of Fame along with David Ortiz. But instead, he decided, you know what? I'm going to show up on a random Monday against the Detroit Tigers, and I don't care who's throwing out the first pitch because you're going to have to push him back. I'm throwing out the first pitch now, and it's going to be to David Ortiz. I kind of feel bad for whoever was lined up to throw out the first pitch because it's not happening now.
Was it not scheduled at all? Did he just show up?
I would like to imagine he just showed up. This quote from Alex Cora after the game. I love Cora after a W and after like a couple W's when he's just kind of feeling himself a little bit in the presser in a good way. Big he time. Goes, Manny's the only guy that misses his Red Sox Hall of Fame induction and comes and throws out the first pitch on a Monday. That's why he is who he is, which is just so accurate. That's exactly what it is. And by the way, Joey, and I'm sure you noticed this too.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did the broadcast pan to David Ortiz and Manny Ramirez? About 8,000, I think, maybe 8,001.
I think it just touched 8,000 right at the end of the game. Yeah, but I was fine with that. I wanted to see it. That's exactly what I wanted to see. I would have taken a live feed in the corner of the screen the whole game.
Yeah, I was fine with it too. But it hit a certain point where I'm like, okay, we've seen these guys. Like we understand. But the core of it is that it's just fun to see Manny back at Fenway. It's enjoyable to see him with Poppy and to reminisce about 04, 07, the good old days. And I'm reminded that I think I was born at the perfect time for what happened with the Red Sox. Like, I think being born at the beginning of the 90s puts you in a really good spot for like 04. You feel like you've struggled your whole life, even though it's only been 14 years. They win the World Series, obviously the comeback against the Yankees, Manny being so important to that, wins World Series MVP. Then 07, you know, another magical year. And that was more Poppy than Manny in 07. But of course he had the walk-off against K-Rod and the ALDS and on they go. But I mean, it's let's be real. The steroid stuff sucked with Manny. That was not when that came down and he got suspended and, you know, the whole thing. We just had to eat that as Sox fans. There was no getting out of that thing. The David Ortiz, all that report, that's all garbage. Like that's right. He likely was showed up on a list for a substance that was legal when he got, you know, not even bopped for it. Like that was supposed to be anonymous. The guy took a billion steroid tests since then, passed them all. So that's a bunch of garbage. And it shows that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But for Manny, I think we look at Manny kind of like Giants fans look at Barry Bonds, where it's like, he's our guy. He was a goof. He got caught up in PEDs. And he doesn't get thrown in the mix with these other steroid guys because he's such a goof.
No. I know. I was going to say, doesn't it feel a little bit easier to accept Manny versus Poppy? Like, wouldn't you take it this way versus the other way around?
As 100%.
Yeah,
in terms of what happened? Oh yes.
Getting popped for steroids. Yeah. Something 100%. About it just... you can just chalk it up as Manny being Manny again, just to stay like with the title of the episode. It's like, I did some chemicals, whatever.
He didn't even know, dude. He thought it was like sleeping pills.
He was having fun.
Mega steroids. Yeah. So it's
he was out there having a good time. That's what he does. Yeah, he's a ball player.
It doesn't really matter, but no, Manny Ramirez, it's great to see him back at the park. And so naturally he hops up there in the booth. I hear Dave O'Brien saying that he's going to join Kev Millar and Eckersley up there. Millar, by the way, we're going to have him on this show. I'm stating that now. Our dear friend, Sarah Coffin, who books our alumni interviews, says Millar is going to happen. So that's going to be hilarious. First off.
Yeah.
Secondly, another wild series for Millar. Every game he's talking about showering with guys and like, you never know what you're going to get. But when I heard Manny was going up there, Joey, I'm like, all right. This is going to be interesting. Like, hopefully he can warm him up. And he had a really slow start. Like, it was kind of like you're talking to a kid. Like, you have a kid. It's kind of like talking to a kid.
It's not at all like talking to a two-year-old, I'll say.
No, I know. I'm saying it's more like whatever.
It was like 10 words.
Let's say an 11-year-old.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, more of like, hey, you know, you had fun, right? Yeah, I had fun. Like, oh, it's really great to see Poppy, right? It's really great to see Poppy. You know, it's a lot of this, like.
How was school? It was good.
School was good.
You learned a lot.
Basically, that was the whole thing. And so I'm reading it. I always, you know, do deep dives on these in the booth interviews. And I'm looking at Dave and Eck and I'm thinking they have no idea what to say right now. And I don't even blame them because Manny's just kind of repeating what Millar is saying.
Yeah.
So naturally, I forgot who said something that got Manny going a little bit. But I think eventually he got a little more comfortable. Because in his natural state, Manny looks a little uncomfy kind of all the time. Like, you never really know what's on his mind. And he's always just looking like he forgot, you know, left the oven on at home or something.
Yeah.
And so naturally, he then finally gets to the. Let's play the audio. Let's play the audio now because these quotes made me lean up in the couch. I was like, oh, wait a second. Like, we're getting something from Manny.
There's a lot of pressure playing in Boston. There's no getting around it.
Ask the guy.
I mean, really.
Hey, but you got to understand this. If you haven't played in Boston or New York, you're not in the big leagues.
Man, that's true.
Hey, it's like if you put Jeter in Kansas City in those years.
Right.
He was just a regular player.
Yeah. You put him on that big stage and hit 400 in the postseason for many, many years.
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. No doubt.
So first off, Joey, the if you haven't played in Boston or New York, you're not in the big leagues. Bar. It's such a baller line.
It's a bar. Yeah.
Like that's Drake is missing a line like that in the new album. Let's just put it that way. Like that is a baller line to say. And it's well, if I'm a fan of, let's say, like, I don't know, the Dodgers or some of these other big name teams, the Mets. Dodgers, it's a light, you know, vibe there. So it's not like it's super hard to play there, but just big, big team Cardinals, you know, who were just in town. I'd be like, what, they had to play for the Red Sox, or I guess when he's saying New York, he probably means the Mets too, just because of that environment. But
yes, yeah, yeah.
He probably meant the Yankees deep down.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. But I think that a lot whenever a guy gets drafted to, I don't know, let's just pick on the Tigers because they're in town. That's just got to suck. You got to think that, like, you know, it's no one's childhood dream outside of the residents of Detroit to, like, I want to play Tiger Stadium.
No, no one's rushing to say, can't wait to live in Detroit. I think it was a cool line. I like that he said it, and I get what he was saying, that the atmosphere is different. And Manny's from the Bronx, right? Didn't he grow up in, like, the Bronx area, and then he played majority of his career in Fenway. So it's like this guy basically was born in it. You know, he was he's been around these atmospheres. And talk about somebody that handled it seemingly with ease. Like, of course, Manny had some moments that he'd likely want back. I think he alluded to it a little bit too. I forget word for word what he said, but he basically was like, you know, when it's all said and done, when your career is over, you look back on things, it really makes you appreciate kind of what you had, and alluding to the fact maybe he didn't fully appreciate what he had here before he got dealt to LA. But I just thought that was a great line, the Jeter line. I mean,
that's the big one. That's the headline. That's the quote card.
If Jeter played in Kansas City, he'd just be another player. Now, every Yankee fan ran to be like, oh, you need the context, style, the context. And, like, even when I'm tweeting it out, it was like, I put that quote. Like, I know this wasn't an insult by Manny, but I'm taking it as one anyway. Like it's Derek Jeter. So, and if our guy Manny, who's, like, one of my favorite players of all time, if he says it, then, yeah, I'm just going to be like, that was a jab at Derek Jeter. I don't care. I don't care if it wasn't. I think it was. But Joey, what was your thought when you heard the line?
Well, I'm seeing it kind of the other way. I'm seeing it like Yankees fans are the ones who are like, did Manny seriously say that? Just another player? Yeah. And I'm seeing, like, people who actually watched it, more or less Sox fans, being like, no, that's not how he meant it. That's not what he said. I understand why that quote is getting the attention it does. But I understand what you're saying, where, like, there's an element that's an insult, because what he's kind of saying is he doesn't get as much attention strictly for his on the field performance, right? If he's in Kansas City, but also, like, is he the same player if he doesn't have the pressure and play for the team that he wanted to play? I mean, Jeter's dream was to be the Yankee shortstop, right? So, like, if he's on the Tigers, you know, does he excel in that role? Like, there's a whole bunch of, you can have a whole conversation around it, but I don't think at the core of it, what Manny was getting at is, I mean, Jeter sucked. People only cared because he was a Yankee.
I know exactly what Manny meant, and I know that there's still a chance that he meant it as a slight jab. I mean, this is Manny, the guy that was holding up the sign that, like, Derek Jeter is playing golf right now, like, while they were at the World Series parade. So, like, this is a guy that doesn't care to throw a couple jabs at Yankees players and understands what the rivalry is all about.
Jabs at Yankees players.
Literally. And, you know, he understands the madness of it and kind of goofing off with Yankee people. And I'm sure he heard every insult under the sun playing in the outfield at the old Yankee Stadium. So, like, he gets it. But at its core, I think there is a slight jab in that he's implying that Derek Jeter needed the madness of New York in order to lift his game to a level that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he wouldn't have been good enough to be a first ballot Hall of Famer playing for the Royals, which you can do. I think people forget, even if you're a bad team, and the Royals have had some good teams, you know, they won the World Series quasi recently. Even if you're in that realm, though, of not one of the top tier teams, you can have Hall of Famers. You can have all time players. So I would like to believe in some minuscule way, it was a little bit of a jab at Derek Jeter, which is totally fine.
Yeah,
I don't think that's a problem. Everyone's running to be like, oh, he meant this, he meant that. It's like, what if he just meant Jeter needed New York to be Derek Jeter, which I think he probably did.
I think Manny gets compared a lot to a child, you know, especially at least in his playing days. Like, oh, he's like a kid out there, right? Kind of carefree, kind of whimsical, kind of goofy, thoughtless sometimes, just like straight up ignorant and thoughtless and like not doing his job. But we loved him for it. But I think you can ascribe that same childlike mentality to being a little bit, I don't want to say petty, but petty, you know, maybe holding a little bit of a grudge. You know, you go to battle against somebody like you did in the early 2000s Sox and Yankees, and you have Manny's brain. Do you walk away a little bitter? I'd argue, yeah. Enough to still throw a jab around when you get the chance. You're on television. You got a mic in front of you. Yeah, I could see him having meant that, is what I'm saying.
No, absolutely. And this is a guy that was in the core of that rivalry and naturally is going to have some type of feelings about the New York Yankees. But all that to say, it was not meant as a jab. It was more of a Jeter benefited from New York. New York benefited from Jeter. And I like how he said it was obviously different playing in Cleveland versus playing in Boston. Like he signs in 2000. I remember that. I remember saving the newspaper when they signed Manny to the 8-year deal and thinking, this is the coolest thing of all time. We have one of the best hitters in baseball signing an enormous deal with the Boston Red Sox, something I hadn't really seen much of. You know, in the 90s, it's not like they're bringing a bunch of studs over to Boston. Obviously, the acquisition of Pedro was enormous, but you drafted Nomar. Mo Vaughn was here. There weren't a long list of moves to get these big name guys. And then boom, you know, they get Manny in the building, sign him to the huge deal. I think what, $140 million, whatever it was.
I think it was $160.
Yeah, 20 a year, right? 20 a year. Yeah, so it was a fun ride. It was a hell of a ride to have Manny on the Red Sox. I'm happy that we can be at a point now where you can come back to the park. And it's all good. No bad blood. Because when he left with the Dodgers, I remember going to that series when he came back with the Dodgers. And it was like, it's kind of 50-50 cheers and boos. It was kind of right down the middle. And I felt awkward because I'm like, this is the guy that I had the poster on my wall growing up. And it's, you know, we're booing him. Like, really? He got us a couple rings. Like, let's not do that. But
yeah, I mean, near the end of his time, he borderline demanded to be traded. You know, he wanted to be gone. And I think a lot of that comes from the pressure of the media. You know, obviously Boston's a town that writes a lot, that cares a lot about its sports and whatnot. There's a lot more eyes, as he alluded to on the broadcast, right? So, I mean, he seems like a guy who would get tired of that. So I'm sure that played into it, but it's also a great way to piss off the Boston faithful to say, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be somewhere else. So,
and then he had Manny Wood and all that. I mean, he dominated right when he got to L.A. That part hurt a little bit. Guy was on a legendary pace. But
when he did sign here, do you remember what his caveat was? Like after he got the $160 million offer, what his bargaining chip was? Like, I'll come here, but
if you tell me, I'd remember, but not off the top of the dome.
He wanted the Sox to also hire the equipment manager from the Indians. It was his guy. He like made Manny's protein shakes. He did BP with him. He was like the only guy I did BP with. And he's like, if I'm coming, will you give this guy a job too? Like, it's the only way I'm coming. And the Sox were like, yeah, I guess we'll pay this guy $40,000 on top of this. Yeah, that's fine.
It is funny when that becomes part of the deal where you're like, if this is what's going to hold it up, then whatever, we'll pay the guy. Sure. I don't give a damn. On that topic though, Joey, your favorite Manny being Manny moment, what would that be?
Oh, well, I got a list here. I kind of want to run through
favorite Manny being Manny moment. God. What do you got, Joey? This is a short, Joey.
Is this? Well, I wanted to run through all of them. I wanted to scream through
Joey,
them at some
point.
Point here.
Is the favorite Manny B and Manny moment.
My favorite one.
Top three. I'll give you top three.
Okay. No, I got a favorite one. He was on when he was with Cleveland. This is a story I learned way later. Right? This didn't happen at the time. It was when he's with Cleveland, he's on a rehab assignment in the minors. And he lost an earring on the base path. And after the game, he made the grounds crew and his team go out onto the field and comb through the dirt to look for his earring. And he told them it was like a $50,000 earring. And they never found it, but he kept them out there for who knows how long, screening through the dirt. I love that.
That's your favorite one? That one's not bad. That's your go-to?
That's one that I think really illustrates who he was, because he's on a minor league assignment. And he's like pulling out these guys who are making, I'm sure at the time, $8,000 a year. And he's like, come look for my $50,000 earring.
I do wonder if any money was promised along with it. Like, if you find it, I'll give you something. Knowing Manny, probably not. A fun fact about Manny, and Cora has mentioned this to me before, that Manny was one of like the cheapest dudes of all time. Like he wouldn't pay for anything. Like they would take a cab together to the road park, and Manny would jump out of the cab before he could pay. And so Cora would have to pay for it.
He one time asked a beat reporter to borrow $30,000 so he could buy a motorcycle.
It's like,
what? And the reporter's like, Manny, what are you talking about? And Manny would like leave cash around and stuff, like not cash, his checks, like just
his checks in the car. Yeah.
Yeah. Just never cared about money. But then at a certain point, realized, like, wait, I do need that. I don't have it.
Yeah. That is hilarious. I feel like once you have a certain amount of money in the bank account, it's just like, whatever. Like, I guess I have to care about this, but until it's like essential, it's not essential. But being cheap is a specific thing. That's like, that's a care thing. There's some care and lack thereof that comes along with that. Yeah. So if you're jumping at a cab so that Alex Cora has to pay for it in 2007, that's a little bit ridiculous, considering he was a role guy. But I mean, a cab's a cab. If you're a big league ball player, that's nothing. But I got to say, it's when he stayed in the Green Monster too long, considering this show's inside the Monster. It's when Manny Ramirez stayed inside the Monster for too long, and it delayed the game. And I remember Orisilla being like, Manny, wait, you know, we're ready to go here. What's going on? And they looked out to left, and him and Jerry shared a really good laugh when Manny finally was like, oh, my bad. Like, I guess we can play again now. So
they threw a pitch. With no left fielder.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's only Manny that happens with. There's no way anyone else would probably even go inside the Monster during the game. Like, it's that just doesn't. I understand it's a pitching change. Mm-hmm. But
well, it wasn't. He thought it was. I think that the he went.
Oh
in there
yeah, it was a mound.
Time.
It was that's right. It was a mound visit, and he's like, oh, okay, I got time.
And he was like, he went in there to pee, and then somebody brought up to him like, hey, Manny, there's no toilet in there, and his answer was, I figured it out. Meaning he pissed on the floor inside the
Monster guy has just got to be like, it's got Manny's piss all over there. Like, that's great, man.
Serious?
Thanks.
Yeah,
appreciate it's that. And I got to put the
hottest
money
place in the world.
Yeah, I got to put the numbers up now, and it smells like pee. It smells like New York in here. Yeah, I would say that one's up there. The high five in Baltimore is up there, but those are the ones really. I mean, kids these days won't understand just how awesome it was to have Manny and Poppy back to back in the lineup. Like, you see the highlights and all that, but every night going to the park and getting to see that in person was just nuts. Like, it wasn't comparable to anything you're going to see today. Like, there's different versions of.
I was going to say
Bash Brothers. There's versions of it
now,
but I'm saying Manny and Dave Ortiz at their peak, back to back. Like, give me a better back to back in baseball right now. I don't think it exists.
No, I mean, obviously, there's a very comparable one as far as just like staying in this city. Like having Devers Bogey back to back, but it's not quite the same.
Bogey, comparing Bogey to Ortiz and Manny is not. They're just different players.
They're different. Different style of player, different style of hitter for sure.
I'm
just saying,
like,
as far
bashers,
as production
like,
goes,
guys that could have 40 homers and 140 RBIs a year. Yeah, like that's
right.
Not Xander Bogarts. You know, no disrespect, but I did think it was interesting that Manny compared Devers to Poppy. That was high praise for a guy that hit right in front of him. So, yeah, that was, it was just cool to have him in the booth and finally get him going. I was like, please tell me he's going to say some stuff, because it started off so slow. He wasn't saying anything. And I'm like, this is going to be great. It's just going to be Millar like telling him what to say. And it's all going to be like, yeah, 04 was crazy. But that was neat. But you got some trivia, don't you, Joey?
He's a shy guy. He needed to loosen up a little bit. I do have trivia. Let me just run through this list real quick. This is going to take me 2 seconds.
I knew you had to.
Because you might learn something here, and I think you're going to be stoked about it. All right. These are just some bullet points for anybody who wants to know some more things about Manny Ramirez. Manny's family didn't know he played baseball until a friend of theirs saw on the news that he had been drafted. They didn't even know he played high school baseball.
Yeah, that was wild.
He hired a guy in Japan, a fan out of the crowd, who gave him hitting advice, hired him as his full-time hitting coach. He one time gave Petey a Rolex and then took it right back and smashed it. His teammates all say that he was afraid of the dark. He one time stole a team bus in the minors in Cleveland. His Cleveland teammates all asked him to have his locker away from everyone else because he would steal all their clothes. Oh my God, the brawl with Clemens, where Clemens threw nowhere near his head.
It's and one of the funniest things of all time.
So good.
I still remember that. My dad and I being like, no, Manny, no. What are you doing? That
wasn't not even close. He named both of his first sons Manny Jr. And then he lied about his grandmother dying to miss the All-Star game. And then when they won in 04, George Bush joked about it. So those are some Manny highlights for you. Now, if you do want to do some trivia here, Steve, if you want to squeeze
one thing, I'm sneaking in real quick.
Yeah,
Joey.
Yeah.
If we're listing them, one thing I'm sneaking in real quick. My favorite Manny thing ever. It's not necessarily a Manny being Manny thing, but he would intentionally miss a pitch to make the pitcher think that he couldn't hit it, and later in the count, he would then crush that pitch. So there you go.
All right. So my question to you, Steve, just got me thinking about jersey numbers, right? Because we've seen one guy wear 24 since Manny, right? The least that comes to mind, right? It's David Price. But after Manny left in 2009, a guy did wear 24. Can you name who that was who wore 24 in 2009 after Manny left?
I remember this because I think we did something on this, but I'm blanking on his first name. It was like Saito. What's his is it Saito?
Yeah, it's Takashi Saito.
Takashi Saito. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So that got me thinking. We were just talking about numbers and whatnot. So I wanted to ask you if you can, in order, name every player who has worn number 5 since Nomar left.
Oh, in order?
In order.
Oh, all right. This is not going to be the easiest thing. I know Rocco... we had Rocco on Section 10, and he gave us a whole story about it, about calling Nomar and being like, you sure it's okay? And he was like, yeah, it's okay. So Rocco
is first.
It was then Nick Punto.
Yep.
It was then Johnny Gomes.
Yep.
Gomes, that would have been 13. Who was after that? Then Alan Craig had it.
Yep.
I might get the order wrong here. It's Kinsler and Zue Lin. They're around the same time.
Yeah, I'll give you that because it goes Zue, Kinsler, Zue.
Okay. And then who else had it? Obviously, Kike now, but there's one other guy that had
it. There's one other guy in there. 2020.
Kevin Pillar.
Yep. Boom. There you go.
There you go.
I know
my fives.
It's all the guys that you're worried about people thinking you have a jersey of when you wear a number 5 jersey around.
Yeah. I just got 2 Nomar jerseys in the last couple of weeks because Mitchell and Ness released the 99 batting practice. And then I think it was just even like the 90s batting practice. I don't know if it has the 99 patch on it, all-star patch, but then the authentic 1997 Nomar rookie year jersey, which is now one of my favorite jerseys. But yeah, the fives are always kill me. We can do a whole nother show on that, on how many people have gotten 5 since he left. But yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it for this ITM short. Manny being Manny, Joey and I figured this is ITM short worthy. This is definitely a nice little hat tip to Manny and a little breakdown of some of the quotes. I'm thankful we got the quotes Because for like I mentioned, for a little while there, I was like, this is going to be a waste of an interview in the booth here. But isn't that, I mean, that's another Manny being Manny thing where you just never know what version of him you're going to get. With Poppy, it's like, oh, you're always going to get Poppy, right? You're always going to get the vibrant, loud in a good way, like guy that's just bringing it.
Big and laugh. Manny was, and
laughing, goofing off. And it's like, Manny's kind of slouched in the chair. And I'm like, Eck doesn't even know what to ask him right now. Talk about two different guys, Eckersley and Manny. But yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it for this ITM short. Next, you will hear from Joey and I is after this Tigers series late on Wednesday night. For Joey Capone, I am Steve Peralt. Go Sox, kid.